Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, visit cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Welcome to Wistful Thinking, the podcast where we revisit pop culture from our youth to see if it's still as good all grown up. I'm Cara Gale O'Regan, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Jordan Poland Clark.
Hi!
And today is another TV episode, where we watched a bunch of TV shows, and we're gonna talk about them. All of the TV shows have in common that they aired on Nickelodeon's SNICK, which was their, like, Friday night?
No, Saturday night. That's what Saturday? It stands for, a Saturday Night Nick.
Well, there you
which
go.
Which doesn't really work, but, oh, whatever.
Well, that is more than I knew, so... Good job.
I might have also just made that up. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you know, it was not on a school night, right? And it was like nighttime stuff, and it was for like a slightly older audience, I think. Like a tween
audience.
But
not really, because well, they would do it in the correct order. Like, the shows mm-hmm. that younger kids could watch would be on first, but then right. like Are You Afraid of the Dark would be on last.
Right, which we already covered.
I know, and we've already covered Pete and Pete, too, which was also on right. SNICK.
Let me look up what episodes those were, in case you want to go back and listen to them. Our Pete and Pete episode was going to be a two-part episode where we did...
We'll do it one day. We'll
yeah,
finish
we
it.
Did a Little Pete-centric episode, or was it Big Pete?
No, it was Little Pete.
Okay. Where we watched, yeah, three... episodes that were a little Pete centric. The Adventures of Pete and Pete, that was episode 8. And then in episode 30, wow, episode 30. I'm still amazed that we're still doing this after all this time. In episode 30, we covered Are You Afraid of the Dark? Episodes of that.
And Ren and Stimpy also.
Oh, yeah, that was a really early one. That was episode 5.
It was Zach Dazon, who sang the theme song.
Oh, yeah, that was
with
great.
With his mouth. mm-hmm. That was great.
Episode 5, episode 8, and episode 30 contain content that aired on SNICK. But we're going to be talking about a few other shows today that I wish... We kind of had a whole episode to talk about each one, except for All That.
I
didn't
don't.
Love All That.
I no? didn't love any of these.
Really?
I mean, except Clarissa, but, like, I already knew that.
Okay, so we watched Clarissa Explains It All, All That, Alex Mack, The Secret World of Alex Mack. Did you watch anything else?
I watched Kenan and Kel.
Okay. I... scrambled to get my homework done and didn't quite finish it, so that's all that I did.
I'm gonna give some history, unless you
okay.
have it, because I have
no,
it pulled
I do not.
Up. So SNICK premiered on Saturday, August 15th, 1992. So I was six. Yeah, I was six. You were five. Wow, you were five when this premiered.
Yeah, I don't know if I was watching it yet.
And
what aired?
So
then?
The first block of shows was Clarissa Explains It All, The Ren and Stimpy Show, Roundhouse, and Are You Afraid of the Dark? I remember loving Roundhouse, and I
remember having strong feelings either way about Roundhouse.
I just really liked, like, it had this set that was on wheels and it would, like, move around, and it was really musical, and I remember really liking all that.
Interesting.
It was just another, like, a sketch show that starred a bunch of teenagers.
Yeah. Which is what All That was.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly as successful as All That was, though. So that was the first block of shows. The next year, it changed to add Pete and Pete. In 1994, Clarissa wasn't on anymore, and All That premiered. And then eventually Ah Real Monsters got added, The Secret World
Love
of Alex Mack.
I was going to watch Ah Real Monsters, but I didn't get a chance to.
I was going to watch Rocko's Modern Life, but I didn't get a chance to, which got added. So in 1995, it was very cartoon heavy. Doug Rugrats, Rocko's Modern Life, and Ren and Stimpy.
Did you know that Rugrats was heavily influenced by the Look Who's Talking movies directed by Amy Heckerling?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's talking babies.
And, like, I think in the second one, Twink Kaplan is looking like a sexy DD Pickles. It's
Oh, I
great.
can see that.
Yeah. Actually, just this week, our episode about Look Who's Talking To came out on Cinemakers. So go check that out. But maybe just listen to the first Look Who's Talking, because that one is way better. But yeah.
So other shows that were on SNICK, Space Cases.
Oh, I loved Space Cases.
See, by the time that was on, I was like done with this, I feel
Yeah,
like.
I was too, but I was like, science fiction, okay. So I watched that one.
Kenan and Kel, which we'll talk about. The Mystery Files of Shelby Woo, which I vaguely remember, but this was
I like remember the
1997.
name, but that's all I remember. Yeah, I probably
Kablam.
saw commercials for it. Oh, I love Kablam! That one was a really interesting and weird cartoon. I think it was
Which
Claymation, maybe. Kablam!
I'm
At
thinking, I
exclamation
can't think
point
of
at the
it
end.
because I keep thinking of Fairly Odd Parents instead.
Interesting.
Oh, Kablam was weird. Okay, yeah. The Journey of Alan Strange, which I've never heard of. Animorphs, Angry Beavers, and that's it. It ended in 1999.
Yeah.
It ended in 1999 with a very like throwback lineup: Rugrats, all that, Kenan and Kel, and Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Nice. Oh, I wish I had had time to watch Kablam. Because I think I was like still tuning in specifically for that show. So, like, the other ones sounded familiar. That and Angry Beavers, I always thought were really interesting. But I was not interested in the other shows. So, let's get into the stuff we watched. Let's
So
start
we
with Click.
didn't pick episodes. We were just like, watch whatever episodes you want, and then we'll talk about them. So we didn't
Which,
even maybe watch the same episodes of these shows.
yeah, we'll see how this goes. We did both watch an episode, or did you watch more of
No, I
Clarissa
only
Explains
watched
It All?
one.
Yeah, me too. Which one did you
I
watch?
watched the pilot. I'm gonna
Oh,
just,
okay.
I'll say it right now, I was very lazy and I just watched the pilot of all of them. But it's
I.
because I couldn't, like, there was no, for all these shows, there was no, like, one that I could remember
Right.
that I really, like, I feel like with our last TV episode, I had much clearer memories of a lot of those shows and, like, knew what I wanted to see. And with these, I didn't feel that way.
Yeah. I watched season one, episode 13, called Sick Days, which just happened to be one of the first videos that came up when I Googled watch Clarissa Explains It All, and I was like, I've had a lot of sick days. I'll watch this one. And in that one, she is trying to figure out how to stay home from school so she can get out of Ancient Greece Day, where she's supposed to play a pillar in the Parthenon. And Ferguson is playing Zeus, king of the gods. And so she like tries to fake sick, but then she gets real sick, but then the teacher that was organizing Ancient Greece Day also gets real sick, and the sub changes it up and makes it all hip and modern, and allegedly has booked Queen Latifah to play in the Parthenon. So then Clarissa is like, "Oh no, now I want to go to school," but then everyone gets sick. No Queen Latifah. The end.
Aw, bummer.
Great outfits, though.
Oh, well, every outfit that Clarissa wears is great.
Yeah. They're amazing. I wrote down how much of my personal aesthetic like comes directly from this
I
show.
think.
'Cause even her bedroom's amazing. Like their house is kind of cool. They have dried flowers all over their kitchen.
Yeah, I think that probably a lot of girls from our generation
For sure.
were very influenced by her style. Because
Yeah.
she was like cool though, like
She was
it
cool.
wasn't like so over the top that like it felt like not accessible, like Saved by the Bell. Like those outfits are so, they're cool, but they're so dated. Like, I don't know. Most of the outfits I saw Clarissa wear, like you could still get away with now.
I mean, you definitely could because, like, the 90s are very in right now, but they're still a little out there, but they're out there in exactly the way that I love. So like the only research that I did for this episode, I actually happened to come across an excerpt from a book called Melissa Explains It All, which is a memoir by Melissa Joan Hart, who played Clarissa Explains It All. And she said, quote, "A lot of fans tuned in to see what Clarissa wore every week. Her clothes were original, playful, and not at all provocative. Keith Haring graphic tees, scarves, peasant tops, and more vests than you could find in Diane Keaton's closet. Most of her outfits included layers of color and pattern paired with colorful Doc Martens or Converse sneakers. The stylish ragtag look was a skillful mix of Punky Brewster, Cyndi Lauper, and the sweeter side of urban punk. I think our show's designer, Lisa Lederer, did for trendy teens what Patricia Field later did for fashionable 20-somethings who watched Sex and the City. In fact, I think Lisa did some shopping for the show at Pat Field's store. To this day, people still tell me that Clarissa inspired them to work in the fashion industry or revamp their wardrobe. I can never follow the character's unpredictable style, so while I loved her clothes, I never duplicated the looks in my own life. I could rock dangling earrings and army boots, but forget the psychedelic leggings and painted jeans. I did keep a lot of custom-made wardrobe pieces, like a blue paisley vest, mixed-matched pajamas, and any Betsy Johnson piece I could get my hands on. My friend Michelle, who worked in wardrobe, made a great keepsake picture constructed from many pieces of fabric and material that were used to make some of the clothes. It still hangs in my office at home. Isn't that nice?"
Yeah, I looked up Lisa Lederer, and she never did anything else.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was
Oh,
like maybe
man.
like one other thing on her IMDb.
What a
I
tragedy.
know.
That's unfortunate. She goes on to say, "Like Clarissa's personality, her look was elaborate without being flashy and liberating without seeming pretentious. I wasn't made to look like today's girls on Hannah Montana, Lizzie McGuire, Wizards of Waverly Place." Obviously, this book is kind of old. "Who wear a full face of makeup, hair extensions, and daring clothes. I'm floored to learn that some of them are younger than I was when I started on Clarissa. In fact, my mom insisted that my character never wear mascara or have tweezed or groomed eyebrows. She hoped to preserve what little girl charm I had left in my big girl world." And this is how, in parentheses, she says this is how she earned her nickname, Dragon Lady, around the set. Her and her mom are actually like producing partners. They wound up basically being showrunners on Sabrina the Teenage Witch and like work together a lot, which is really kind of cool and interesting.
That aesthetic like really came through though, like because like the reason Clarissa was cool is because she was never like trying to be cool. You know, like she
Right.
was, at least like in my memory and in the episode that I watched, like she was never really like trying to impress anybody.
No,
She very
she
much was
wasn't.
just like doing her thing, you know?
Yeah, and that was extremely attractive to me as a weird child.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It
and her
was like, I
bedroom is
mean, I
super
feel
cool
like it
too.
was like a rare example that we got to have of like a girl just being a girl, you know? Well, because we never, I mean, I guess part of it was, correct me if you remember differently, but we never went to school with her. Did we?
What do you mean?
If you watch the show, like almost the entire show takes
Oh,
place at
it
her
never takes place at
house.
school. Yeah. Oh,
So like you
interesting. I
really get
never
to
thought about that.
see her only inside her own like very safe world,
Yeah.
which is a very different, it would be a very different show if we were like, you know, at school with her, or we went to the mall with her, or whatever.
Interesting. I never even thought about that. What happened in the pilot?
In the pilot, the main plot is about her trying to kill Ferguson because he
That
because
was another level on which I deeply connected with this show, is that my brother and I are completely opposite people and we never got along. And so, like, even though he's older than me, we had not like as antagonistic a relationship as Clarissa and Ferguson on the show, because it's like played up for television. But like, I was like, yeah, my brother sucks too. He's a real dweeb.
Yeah, so she's trying to kill him, because he
Which is kind of crazy.
she's trying to kill him by putting him in a straitjacket and then floating him away on a bunch of balloons
Interesting.
because he brought her bra to school for show and tell
Oh,
in his
you know
class.
what? I read somewhere else, and I don't remember where I read this, but the showrunner had been a performance artist and actually like
Yeah.
took that
It was in the article that you
from
sent me.
his. Oh, okay.
The straitjacket thing was from like a piece of performance art that he did.
Which I think is hilarious.
Which like also reminds me of like just reading stuff about the Pete and Pete showrunners, like that they were just a bunch of weirdos in a fun way.
Which is very clear, like based on the show that they made.
And same for Ren and Stimpy and and Rocko's Modern Life actually, because I don't know anything about the people who ran that show, but just my memories of that
That
show.
show is really weird.
Like I feel like that kind of like weirdness of like artists like making a show probably doesn't exist in a Nickelodeon anymore. I'm sure you can find it
Yeah,
in another
probably
children's
not.
programming, Adventure Time.
Yeah, and we talked about this, I think, on the Ren and Stimpy episode, that this was part of this artist-driven movement at Nickelodeon, that like all of these shows were actually being run by the artists and not coming down like from the network level.
Yeah,
And
because it
that
was
was like
all
a
like
kind
pretty
of new and
new
different thing
still.
for Nickelodeon. Yeah. This was actually the first or se only the first or second sitcom on Nickelodeon.
And it was the first one
Second, I
with a
think.
female protagonist.
Well, there you go.
The side plot in my episode was that Clarissa was trying to help Sam not try out for the football team because his dad really wanted him to play football and he really didn't want to. Which is resolved because he ends up holding the big balloons that are supposed to float Ferguson away, and they accidentally float Sam away, and he hurts his
Oh
arm. So
no. Sam was pretty cute. I
he
had a
was
crush on him.
so cute, and he was so cool. He would just like come through the window and hang out. I feel like I definitely wanted a friend like that.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I still want a friend who will come through my window and hang out, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to say about Clarissa? Yeah, me
I
neither,
don't think
really.
so. I didn't
Other
have as
than.
many feelings about it that I thought I would. Oh,
Yeah, I was just kind of like obsessed with all of the outfits
I like that
and
it
her
had kind
friend.
of the episode that I watched anyway had kind of like a mixed media feeling because she did she do the video game thing in yours?
No, but she did
She did do it a
do.
lot.
She had, because she was sick, she had this fever dream of the virus inside of her body that was really interesting.
Yeah. I think. And then there was like another moment in mine where they were like watching. I don't even remember why anymore. But they were like watching a television. So it was like us watching a television, watching a television. It just had like a vibe that was different, you know?
Yeah. Also, she had a pet tiny alligator named Elvis.
Yeah, she did.
And for some reason, in the episode I watched, Sam brought over an empty aquarium and a plastic bag full of his fish and then set it up in Clarissa's room for some reason, even though it was his. I don't know why.
In my episode, they were still like super young. And the first time he climbs through her window, she's like, "That's Sam. He's still waiting for puberty to hit," like just or something like that. Because like his voice is like barely changed. Like they're still really young.
Yeah. Interesting. I feel like Clarissa had a big effect on the secret world of Alex Mack. Like it was like not the same character, but definitely like in a similar vein. Like they're maybe just because they both had like straight blonde hair
Yeah, I think they're.
and wore flannel,
I
but
think they're
what do you
pretty different.
Yeah, I mean, well, Alex Mack was like a more sci-fi thing. You watched the first episode of
Yeah.
that? Yeah, so in that episode, it's like her first day at a new school, maybe her first day of high school.
I
She
think I
seems
was
like she maybe already
confused.
has a friend there.
Yeah, I was confused about that because she already had like a close friend, but they were treating it like it was a new, everything else was new. I was confused.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That was confusing. But anyway,
But that she
they.
also has a male best friend.
Right. Well, because obviously, boys aren't going to watch a
You
show
can
that are
just have,
two
you can just have,
girls.
well, something I read about Clarissa basically said that Clarissa disproved that fact. Like,
But.
just having that show exist was like, oh, no, yeah, boys watch this.
Well, yeah, but that's because they had Sam on it,
That's not
and.
why. Sam was
Well, not
hardly ever on it.
why. Okay, whatever. I. But. Like, that's how they got away with having that show, is like, but she has this guy friend, and she's, like, cool enough to hang with the guys,
Yeah, I mean, I,
and,
yeah.
you know,
Ooh,
that
there
whole
is a line in
dynamic.
Alex Mack that made me really mad.
Oh, yeah?
I forget, though, I interrupted you. You can explain Alex Mack first.
Oh. Oh, so they like live in this town with a big biotech company, and her dad works there?
Yeah.
Question mark. But she's walking home from school, and we've seen it's like kind of cutting back and forth between her everyday teenager life and then also what's going on at this company, which is clearly run by bad people, and they are trying to ship this top secret chemical somewhere. But their delivery guy's an idiot, and he,
He's
like,
kind of an idiot, but also they were just like really mean to him and told him that he couldn't take his lunch break. And so he was trying to eat and drive the truck at the same time.
Right. And so he
So.
reaches down to grab a sandwich, and he almost hits Alex Mack, and he winds up swerving and like hitting something, and she falls down and she gets doused in this chemical. And then she starts like glowing and turning into a puddle of weird quicksilver kind of
And she
stuff.
can control electronic things.
Which was all very cool at the time. And actually, I thought that the like effects in this were really good for like
They're not
95
bad, yeah.
or 96 when that came out. But it's okay 'cause her sister is really good at science and has a microscope. So she's gonna figure out what's going on, and in the meantime, they just have to pretend that everything's normal.
Because the bad guys at the company are after her.
Yeah. But the thing that I really liked about that is that the episode ends, and her sister, who share a bedroom, are like in bed, and they're going to bed, and they're talking about someday making the cover of Scientific American. And I was like, yeah. So I liked that. I really loved that show when it was on.
Yeah, this is the one that I actually ended up having the most feelings about. The most, like, you know, the feeling of, like, oh, part of this lives in my heart somewhere.
Yeah, like the theme song.
Yeah. And yeah, and all the theme music actually that
Yeah,
plays, like,
that's
a
true.
lot during the show.
Yeah.
But there is a line that made me so angry. She was, like, walking. She was walking with Raymond after school. And he was like, I'm gonna go to band tryouts. And she was like, well, band tryouts? Why? And he was like, blah, blah, whatever, I have to. And I might meet some girls. And she was like, I'm a girl. And he said, you know, girl type girls. Which just made me so mad.
Yeah, 'cause she kind of dresses like a tomboy or
Well, he
whatever,
was
and even the
implying
truck
that she wasn't
driver.
a real girl because he wasn't sexually attracted to her.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but like I think that they were actually kind of making a few nods to her gender being like somewhat ambiguous, because even the truck driver like couldn't tell them whether the teen he almost hit was a boy or a girl.
Because she had a hat on and a flannel shirt.
I mean, it was the 90s, you know. Everybody was wearing baggy clothes.
Yeah, it's true. But she is also like Larissa Olenek is like strikingly beautiful.
Oh, she's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was in, what was that thing that we watched?
She was in something that we watched.
Babysitter's Club movie.
Ooh, yeah, she was.
Which was episode.
Ooh, I forgot. There are so many episodes I forgot.
I know, it's so wild. Episode 17. So if you want to go back and listen to that, it wasn't a great movie, but you know, she's cute. She plays a very different character in that, I think. Like she's kind of a brat.
She starts out as kind of a brat in this too.
Well, she's a teenager.
She's a teenager in the Babysitter's Club too.
Yeah, that's true. Anything else about Alex Mack?
Jessica Alba's in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
When?
the girl Jessica is Jessica Alba.
Who's Jessica?
She's like the girl that's mean to Alex after school. There's like a big group of girls standing, and they shot that scene very weird. So like Alex is walking with Raymond, and it's like a sing it's one shot, and they're walking towards the camera, but between the camera and them is like a large group of girls in like gym outfits. And rather than shooting it from a different angle, they just shoot through this group of girls until like Raymond and Alex are close enough to the camera that you can see them. But I remember thinking that it was very weird, like a really weird
Yeah.
choice.
Let me look at it real quick because I just found it. I happen to have the window still open. Oh, because she's walking on like a basketball court?
Maybe that's. Are they playing basketball?
Oh, that is Jessica Alba. Wow.
Yeah. So she was like, I assume, a girl who continues to be mean to Alex.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah, no, they shot through the group because they were playing basketball.
But why?
I don't
Who
know.
cares?
Yeah, but I think it's like to show that like Alex is just like cutting across a active basketball court. I don't know. But she meets a cute boy.
Yeah, she does meet
Who,
a
oh
cute
my
boy.
goodness, and has to talk to him about not being into troll dolls anymore. Now I remember this scene. Yeah. And that's right before she gets doused. Anything else about Alex Mack?
No.
Okay. How about all that?
I also watched the pilot,
Okay.
which had TLC as the musical guest. And
And
so.
that, or like, I, because I watched a season four episode, their theme song was always TLC.
Yep.
Oh,
This
this
is
is
all
all
that.
that. This is all. Okay, anyway, continue.
Remember the one time we were like, maybe we should just sing all the theme songs? And then Zach did it for Ren and Stimpy, and Desiree sang Growing Pains. We
Yeah, that
all
sounds
sang
right.
Growing Pains, and you were crying. I watched the first episode, which means it was like the whole original cast. Was it changed by the one you watched?
I think so, and that was the reason that I picked a season four episode because I don't think I had watched it necessarily with the original cast.
Oh, I
I don't know,
definitely
I
did.
just like season four, I was like, this is definitely a time when I would have been watching this show, so that's why I picked that. It was just like a random episode that also was one of the first ones that came up when I Googled watch all that, so you know.
This one, the one that I watched, didn't have any. It had one sketch that ended up being a recurring sketch, so I did remember it, and it was Walter the Ear Boy.
Oh, and he had a really big ear.
And he had, and yeah, and then he
And like wax problems.
he, yeah, I don't, maybe in this one he didn't have wax problems, but it had a good theme song. It's Walter the Ear Boy. His ears are really big.
Big.
Yeah, see?
Okay. Yep. I remember now.
And so then he eventually meets Pizza Face and Four Eyes and Tinsel Teeth,
What a
and
great
they
name.
become friends. But in this one, he hadn't met them yet, and he ends up talking to Ross Perot, who gives him advice on having really big ears. And Ross Perot was like played by that really tiny girl.
Yeah, I vaguely, re I maybe have seen this
Because
episode.
she did, I think she did that impression a lot.
Yeah. But I like I remember your boy talking to Ross Perot. And it wasn't Amanda Bynes.
No, it wasn't Amanda Bynes. Her name was Katrina something. Yeah, that was really the only sketch that I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that. There are other sketches that I remember from the show that were not in this episode.
Right, like what?
Vital Information.
Oh, that was in one of the ones that I watched with Lori Beth Denberg.
Mm-hmm. And Ishbu.
Not sure I remember that one.
Ishbu was like it was Kenan Thompson, and mm-hmm. he was like a foreign exchange student who would like be at these people's house. Oh my god, my best friend and I were so obsessed with Ishbu. We thought it was the funniest thing we'd ever seen.
In the one that I watched, he was Pierre Escargot.
Oh, I remember he's in the bathtub.
Yep.
But Ishbu would like do all these, like, make the family he was with, like, do all these, like, customs, like, crazy stuff, and he would be like, well, but it's from my country. But then, like, you would get the feeling that he was just fucking with them, like, he was just doing it because he thought it was funny.
Good for him.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Pierre Escargot. And then there is that Amanda, the one that Amanda Bynes did, Ask Ashley.
Mm-hmm.
Where she would yell.
Yeah. The ones that were in the episode that I watched that I remembered were Repairman Man. Yeah, which was a Kel character. And the Complaint Department, which was also Lori Beth Denberg. But then Kel comes in as his character, as his Good Burger character, and they fall in love.
Aww.
Yeah. But first, Amanda Bynes is in there trying to return a hat, but she also has her dog. And Lori Beth Denberg is like, oh, this is a weird hat. But she takes the dog and, like, throws it down the defective shaft. So, that was it. I mean, there were other sketches, but those were the ones that I was like, oh, these are characters that I know.
Yeah.
And there was Danny Tamborelli was on that season too.
There is, yeah, so like I looked at like, because I don't think I watched all that for very long, the first like few seasons maybe, but like, so like Kenan went on to have a real career. I totally saw him in real life once at Nickelodeon Studios. I, one time was backstage at, they used to do this show.
Backstage or underground?
What?
Oh, never mind. Nickelodeon Studios, like the theme park or not the theme park?
Like it was at Universal Studios. In
Orlando. Because backstage at Disney World is just underground.
Oh, I don't think we were underground. But so yeah, Nickelodeon Studios was at Universal. And
right.
They used to do this like Nickelodeon show that we went to, and I got slimed in it because my mom
slimed. Jordan, I can't believe this has never come up on Wishful Thinking before. You've been slimed.
My mom knew someone who worked there, so I guess they I'm sure they always pick a person to get slimed, but like I knew ahead of time that it was gonna be me.
Oh my god, I would have had nervous diarrhea.
And so they wow, I've never ever thought about this as an adult. Hold on, give me a second.
Wow. We've been doing this podcast for a year and a half, almost 2 years, and this has never come up before. Did you block this out of your memory? Was this a traumatic event?
We've talked about this. Most of my childhood is blocked from my memory.
That's true, yeah.
I remember, like, before the show, I went to this, like, tiny room and, like, changed my clothes. So that, like, I wasn't wearing my own clothes when I got slimed. Right. So they didn't get ruined.
They gave you clothes?
Yeah, they must have given me something to wear. And I was with my mom. And so I changed my clothes. And then, like, I have no idea what context I got slimed in. I don't remember, like, that part at all. I remember it happening. I think I was, like, sitting in a baby pool.
Was this on, like, a televised show?
No, it was, like, you know when you go to, like, Universal Studios or, like, a theme park, they'll, like, do a show?
Right,
it was
like the Waterworld
show. It was, like,
World
one of show. Those. Yeah, it was one of those.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, we have to hunt down that episode right now.
No. It was Next Gen TV. And I think it was, like the whole show was, like, they would pull people from the audience to, like, mm-hmm. do stuff in the show.
Did your mom videotape it?
Probably not. I've never seen it.
Ask her, please.
I don't want to see it.
Okay, but at least
great shame about who I was as a child.
No, I understand that, same. But can you at least ask your mom about it and maybe even like record it? Just be, because I am dying to know, like, because since you don't really remember it that well, I'm dying to know what like an adult perspective on this was.
I'll ask my dad. You know what? I'll ask my sister too. I'll ask them all what they remember.
Please do a whole family interview.
I think we were also with my best friend at the time. Her and her family were there, like her and her mom and her dad. Mm-hmm. And I think that they also participated in like one of the games during the show that involved one of them putting on a really big pair of pants and the other one throwing rubber chickens into it.
Oh man, comedy classics. Big pants, never not funny. Rubber chickens, never not funny.
And so then after I got slimed, there was a shower in the tiny room, so they let me go take a shower and put my clothes back on.
Slime room.
And I remember
they had
like
a dedicated slime room.
I remember it was like difficult to get it out of my hair. Some reason, I remember there being tiny pieces of paper in my hair.
Well, they probably did confetti,
like confetti
too.
Yeah.
I feel like there was definitely always some sort of confetti.
But so then after that, we got like a special like backstage tour of Nickelodeon Studios, and they like showed us how they make like slime, and some of it was like made out of food, because they were like, I don't know if this is real or not. They were like, oh, because it like gets everywhere and like gets in their mouths and stuff, so they let us eat it and like taste it.
I think it's made of corn starch.
Ate was made out of vanilla pudding.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But it wasn't slime. It was like, it was something else. And Kenan Thompson was there.
Cool.
I like remember them like pointing him out, and I saw him in real life.
Wow. What a adventure.
Wow. I haven't thought about that in
worried we weren't going to have anything to talk about. Here we are, uncovering repressed childhood memories.
Weird.
What we do best here on Wistful Thinking.
I also remember going out to like one of those, this is unrelated, but from the same trip, going out to one of those like Disney breakfast restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Where, like, with all the characters?
Yeah. And like with my friend's family and my family. And for some reason, some of us just like laughing. I don't remember at what, but like,
yeah,
like we were dying.
Talk about traumatic childhood episodes. I was in Disney World, I think I was maybe 3 years old, maybe a little bit older, but we were at breakfast at one of these places, and I was eating Cheerios for breakfast, and I got up to go to the bathroom, and when I came back, they were gone because the waitress had taken them away. And for some reason, that was like deeply upsetting to me.
Because you were three and that was your food?
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. Would you ever go to Disney World now?
Oh my God, no.
Me neither.
I mean, this is just, you know, I get that. I know that people are into it, but it's not for me. I'm not that into Disney to begin with, so there's that. But then also, theme parks in general, amusement parks in general, not that amusing to me.
Same.
I can't stand up for a long period of time, so that's a problem, especially when it comes to like standing on lines. Also, I'm very heat intolerant, so that's a problem. Very sensitive in the sun, so it's just a combination of like bad situations for me. So I've just kind of never really enjoyed a theme park. Epcot, kind of cool though.
Yeah, that's my take on it.
You know, because it has like all the different like international.
But like I have all the same problems with theme parks. I mean, for me, it's because I just like don't like any of those things. Like, I don't like standing up. I don't mind standing up for a long time. Clearly,
yeah.
I'm an acrobat.
Well, no, but, I mean, there's a total difference between standing up and moving around, because like I can. So the reason I can't stand up for too long is that my body is stupid and doesn't know how to send my blood back to my brain. Mm-hmm. And so it like settles in the bottom half of my body, and then I get really dizzy and sick. But if I'm moving around, then your leg muscles are mm-hmm. like helping send it where it needs to go. So like if your body is like moving and circulating, that's okay, but it's stand any activity that's like a lot of standing around is just bad news bears for me.
I
I will
just,
never golf.
while I was listening to you to describe that, I just realized why I can't deal with it.
Why?
like I get very overwhelmed. My senses get overwhelmed really
Also
easily.
that,
So like
yes.
between like the heat and the noise and the like just like sights and smells,
Yeah.
like I don't have a problem with any of those things, but I need to be able to like have a break from it, and
Yeah.
you can't do that at those
You can't.
places.
There's like no escape.
No, there's
Except I
nothing.
do love the bathrooms in Disney World because so we went to Disney World, I think my freshman year of high school, like on our band trip. We like did marching band things like in Disney World and stuff. And oh, that was the year that 9/11 happened. So no one wanted to fly, so we took a bus to Florida,
Ew.
which was literally a 24-hour
That's
bus
really
ride.
far.
It was so bad. And my band director really loved, oh God, what's that place? We called it the Honky Bucket, but that's not its real name. Cracker Barrel. And so like we were just stopping at like Cracker Barrel after Cracker Barrel, which is all like really greasy, like southern food. And it was like either that or fast food that we were eating. And so, my digestive system doesn't like those things very much. So, I was in a great amount of distress, and I found it very relieving that anywhere in Disney World you can walk into a bathroom and there are 9,000 stalls, and there's all of this flushing noise and water running and people talking, and it just I found to be quite a nice place to poop.
That's good. I'm glad to
Yeah.
hear.
I also can't believe that it's taken this many episodes for us to talk about pooping in public places, but here we are.
Well, it's not super related to nostalgia.
Maybe not for you.
That's fair. Oh, we
I
were.
don't know.
We were. I was listing famous people from all that. Because Kanan wasn't the only one.
True. Although he's the biggest star. I mean, maybe Amanda Bynes, but for different reasons.
Yeah, but she's pretty well known. Nick Cannon was on all that.
Oh, I didn't know
I
that.
didn't either until I looked it up today. And there was one more person, but I don't remember who. Oh, maybe it was just Danny Tamborelli. Jamie Lynn Spears.
Oh, like way later,
Yeah.
right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
'Cause all
That's.
that was like our generation's version of the Mickey Mouse Club. Even though there
Kind
was a
of.
Mickey Mouse
Whoa,
Club for
Neil
our
Brennan
generation.
was a writer on this. I am just
Oh,
reading the
really?
writers now. I didn't read the writers before.
Wait, Neil Brennan, who like co-created the Chappelle Show?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting.
Let's see who else. See if there's anyone else good. Taryn Killam, who was on Saturday Night
Okay.
Live.
Funny.
I don't recognize any of these other names. Danny Tamborelli was a writer.
Interesting.
What did you just say? It was what? It was like our version of the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, kinda.
I feel like yeah, I felt like it was trying to be like a just a kid's Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
Even like some of the sketch. I mean, as you know, SNL is not great sometimes. Like there were
I mean,
even
it's
what?
I think that it gets like a worse rap than it deserves because they just are churning out so
I
much
mean,
content
yeah.
at such like a fast
But it just means
pace
that
that like
some of
most
the.
of it's gonna be bad.
Yeah, it means just some of the sketches are really bad.
Yeah.
And I feel like there were some sketches in the episode of All That that I watched that I was like, that's almost an SNL sketch, like, without really any changes.
Yeah. Interesting. Speaking of SNL, the other day I watched Night at the Roxbury, which came out of an SNL sketch and was one of the many Lorne Michaels produced comedies. But guess who else produced it?
Amy Heckerling.
Even though I totally already told you.
Me already. Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed that, though.
Yeah, no, me neither, until I saw it and I was like, oh no, this is definitely, this has her all over it. And it's rumored that she also, like, ghost directed some of it, and I can totally see it. But, like, so many of the actors that she works with are in it. Like, Dan Hedaya kind of plays the same character that he does in Clueless, except in this movie, he is, I really got a kick out of this. He owns a fake flower shop, and so he's like this angry florist, and it's great, and I really liked it a lot. It's still very funny. Not all of it is super funny, but there's enough there that it is worth revisiting.
Also worth pointing out about all that is that it's very diverse.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more diversity in the cast than there is on Saturday Night Live, for instance.
Yeah.
And a lot of other things. Yeah. But, like, not as much as there should be. Like, I don't think there are any Asian characters.
No, I know.
And also, a lot of the humor really relies on cultural stereotypes.
Ethnic stereotypes. Yeah.
That are problematic, but hey, it was in the 90s, so
I mean, yeah, like watching all these shows is like, you could just make lists of like, oh well, you definitely can't say that now. Like,
yeah,
this definitely wouldn't fly anymore,
for sure. And then, so do you have anything else to say about all of that?
No. Oh, in my episode, they did this thing that were like, it was just all these like quick like things cut in between sketches, and it was like famous actors of the time just like saying one word.
Oh, weird.
I don't even remember what they were saying.
In my episode, yeah.
But in my episode, it featured Brian Austin Green.
David Silver himself.
And Joey Lawrence.
Nice.
Which was weird, but like gave it like a really specific like style though.
Yeah. Interesting. I saw Brian Austin Green in something recently, and I just cannot see him as anyone other than the character that he played on Beverly Hills 90210.
Did you watch that show?
Oh yes, it's so good.
I never saw it.
Oh, it's wonderful. I mean, I didn't really watch it when I was on, I think, because I was
mostly too young. We were too young for it when it was on.
Yeah, but I watched it. I've seen it, the whole thing, multiple times. There's 10 seasons of it, and it's so good. It's ridiculous, but it's wonderful, and it's, like, just so of its time. And the fashion, of course, is amazing. The hair. Yeah. Donna Martin graduates. Let's graduate from all that. You also watched, what was the other thing that you watched?
Kenan and Kel.
Yeah, how was that?
Yeah, I had like no feelings about it at all. Just, this is how dumb I am. In my brain, Kenan and Kel and Good Burger were the same thing until I started watching it and I was like, oh, yeah, no, I get it. This is a different show.
Wait. Good Burger was a movie.
Yeah, I know. It was also a sketch on all that.
Yeah. Did they not do Good Burger sketches on Kenan and Kel? Was that a sketch show?
See, okay, good. You're as confused as I am. No, it was just a show about, like, Kenan and Kel, and they were friends.
Oh, really?
And they did wacky hijinks together.
Oh, okay.
In the episode that I watched, they were trying to buy a car.
Huh. I obviously have not seen it since it was on the air, so I don't remember. I didn't realize that that was not a sketch show.
No, it's just, like, a typical kind of, like, kids, like, sitcom-y show where, like, you know, the protagonist is, like, a teenager.
Right.
It's, like, about, like, Kenan and his family, and Kel is his best friend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nothing, like, spectacular to report.
What happened in the... Oh, you said they were trying to buy a car.
They schemed to try to buy a car.
Did anyone interesting show up on that?
No.
And that does it for this episode of Wistful Thinking. No, okay. I'm sorry I did not get a chance to also watch a Kenan and Kel episode.
I don't think you would have had very much more to add.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the show that premiered the latest, too, out of like everything that we watched. This was 1996.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we probably like were barely even watching.
Yeah, but I didn't really know the theme song, which was sung by Coolio.
Oh yeah. I couldn't sing it for you, but I remember that it was by Coolio.
Can't think of it. I just keep thinking of other Coolio songs. Hold on, I'm gonna listen to it. Oh, I have it in these headphones. Weird. Yeah, it's whatever.
I feel like our underachieverness was really on display this episode.
Well, yes.
My congenital inability to do homework,
I have
which
that
somehow
too.
has not interfered with us doing this show that much yet, even though we've been doing it for a while.
No, I mean, our homework is pretty minimal, though. It's just like, watch the thing. I mean, I think,
Yeah.
like, part of the issue with this,
So too many different
it was
things.
too, yeah, it was just so many different shows, and, like, unlike the last TV show episode, like, yeah, we watched four or five shows for the last episode, too, but we picked really specific episodes for really specific reasons, and here, we were just, like, trying to get, like, a flavor of, like, each of the shows to go back to a different time.
And it wound up bringing up an interesting memory for you, so
It's true.
not a total loss.
It's true. Yeah. I tried to think about, like, I tried to have memories of watching Snick,
Yeah.
specifically. And the.
The only memory that I have of watching Snick is watching the Halloween version. Oh, that's what
What
I
was
should
the
have
Halloween
watched.
version?
Well, they would like, I think it was maybe like a specific year, even like the year that Aa Real Monsters premiered, which I think they did like on their like Halloween programming. And it was just like spooky, fun Halloweeny things, you know. Predates the Dancing Pumpkin Man, but I'm sure he would have been there
Dancing
if he
Pumpkin
existed.
Man.
You know, that gif of that guy who's like wearing a black jumpsuit and has a pumpkin on his head and he's just doing
Oh,
goofy
I do. I
dancing.
just had to Google it, but I do
Yeah.
know.
Which was just from like some sort of like public access channel in like Oregon or something that wound up on Tumblr and like became, you know, he's the king of Halloween. Or I guess that would be David S. Pumpkins.
Well, now, yeah. Yeah.
I miss Halloween. It's almost Christmas, and I don't like Christmas. I think it's stupid, and I want it to be Halloween again.
My only memory of Snick is being at my best friend's house, and we would like get to stay up late and like watch it in her parents' bedroom, and we would make a lot
Ooh.
of popcorn. But like,
Sounds fun.
I'm trying to like have feelings attached to that, and for some reason I only have negative feelings attached to it.
Oh no, what kind of negative feelings?
Like, well, she was a friend who like moved away and it ruined my life, which happened to me more than once when I was a child. Because she like just loved me so hard. Did you ever have a friend like that? I have another one now, but I think between her and the person now, I didn't have any friends. No, I had one other friend like this. But she like physically loved me so hard, like she would like hug me so hard I couldn't breathe. But that was just how she showed her love.
I don't think I had any friend. I never had any friends that felt that closely or intensely, I think, like as a child, but I definitely did in like college and in my 20s.
Oh, we were like very weird, mismatched soulmates.
Aww.
Because we were totally different. Like, she was so happy and like pretty and like had a really nice family that was like really happy. And she was like an only
Aww.
child and had a dog. We were just like so different in so many ways. And she made me feel like normal, you know? And then she moved away.
Yeah, I can see why that would be a tremendous loss. What age was that?
She moved away when I was 12.
Oh, that's a bad time for
Yeah,
that to happen.
it was in seventh
Life.
grade. But I also remember that, like, sometimes I would, like, try to like things that she liked, even if I didn't really like them. And I think Aureal Monsters was one of those things.
Oh,
So, like,
interesting.
that's also a memory that I'm having about watching Snick with her.
Yeah. I love Aureal Monsters. It's so weird and gross.
I don't know why I didn't like it.
Well, we'll have to do that on a future episode.
Yeah, and
We could
Rocko's Modern
do
Life.
a, yeah, cartoon-centric one,
Like
'cause I
a.
would love to watch a bit of Rugrats again. And of course, Kablam.
And we didn't watch Doug yet, did we?
Oh yeah, also Doug. That was a real weird show. He had that weird, like, older artist sister
Judy.
that wore a beret all the time. Yeah.
And like all of his friends were different colors.
Do you have any more feelings?
I mean, of course I have more feelings. They never end.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have any more feelings that you would like to talk about on this episode of Wistful Thinking?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, if people wanted to find you, where should they look?
They can find me on Instagram at JordoPC.
And you can find me also on Instagram or on Twitter at Bimps, BIMPSE. You can find the show at Wistful Pod. And I don't know, send us an email or something, wistfulpod@gmail.com. Tell us, do you have feelings about Snick? Do you remember having feelings while watching Snick? How you feeling in general?
Did you ever get
Let us.
slimed?
Did you ever get slimed? Did you ever, were you ever at a sleepover watching Snick and then had too much anxiety and felt like you were gonna slime yourself so you had to go home? Because if I'm being real, that I have that memory. Yeah, do you have memories about pooping at Disney World? Let us know. Wistfulpod@gmail.com. And you can find us and all the other wonderful podcasts on the Cage Club Podcast Network at cageclub.me. We'll talk to you next time. Bye bye.
Bye.